That's in the reading of God's word. I want us to just sing a little bit of the song, My Heavenly Father Watches Over Me. Can we do that? I know it's in your hymnal, but it's also on the album that we did. Hint, hint. I trust in God wherever I may be. Upon the land or on the raging sea. For come what may, from day to day, my Heavenly Father watches over me. Oh, I trust in God, and I know that on the mountain bleak or on the stormy sea, bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated. Father, we thank you that we've come to this day to honor you, to love you, and to worship you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for watching over us, for preparing for us and helping us to understand your will and your way. Speak to our hearts now. Help us to embrace the truth, that the truth would set us free. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share this with you before I get into the message about honoring God the Father. Yesterday, I had my first train trip. I've ridden at things like Dollywood and, you know, well, I haven't been to Dollywood, but trains like that. But I'd never been on a real live train. So my wife and I, we went with the couples on yesterday, had a couples fellowship on yesterday, and we went up to Washington and came back, and it was fun. It was really great. You know, but the thing that I find that we as a church, we get to experience life together. And I think we forget that. A lot of us, we come, yes, we want to learn about God, but we get to experience life together. Sharing with fellow members, it really means a lot to us, and we go through this thing called life. You don't want to just live just to have a funeral service. You want to live life. You want to experience life with other people, to know them, to learn about them, and help each other. That's all going to be a part of the message that we talk about this morning, in that we are honoring God. Now, I know a lot of us, we would probably think to ourselves, this is Father's Day, and I'm going to bring that back into the circle of what we share with you as far as Father's Day, but where do we get this idea, this notion of Father's Day? Where did it come from? And would it really have any impact if we didn't at least think about God? Because when you think about the Father, capital F, isn't it interesting that the small or the lowercase f, Father, would have to have some type of way of at least identifying itself as coming from God? So how do you define, in what context do you use to define the word Father? How are we going to define that? Got a couple of things that we want to look at. First of all, its origin. Did it come from dads being dads? Is that where it came from? I find it somewhat interesting, to say the least, that in the book of John, the word Father is used hundreds of times. Jesus said, my Father, My Father. My Father sent me. Works I do, the Father gave me to do. My Father's house. And on, he said, and when they asked him about his authority, he said, my Father, I get my authority from my Father. What I've seen him do, that is what I do. The Father, the Father, the Father. So if we don't have a definition, watch this, or an origin of where Father came from, we would assume that it came from us. Now you have this drift where people are sort of defining their own or coming up with their own definition of what it means to be a father. Please make note of this. If God used the word father, if Jesus said, my father, and now you're saying, I'm a father, that ought to come from somewhere. That ought to have some type of origin and some type of way of relating to it in a way that it really means something. So fellas, guys, listen. I don't want you to take being a father lightly. If it came from, and those of you that will be fathers, you know, you're going to have these young'uns come along after you, and they're going to look like you. And you need to know, and you need to be able to tell them where this whole thing got started. Father means to originate something or to be the progenitor or someone that brings forth. God is the one that created the world, right? Amen. Made everything for his own glory. All right, so let's look at the origin of, but let's look at it now. What does it mean to be inspired to be a father? Not only the depth and the meaning of it, but am I inspired to be a father? When you see the boy go down the field, he catches that football, he runs and gets a touchdown. That's my boy there. That's one form of inspiration, but what about to be inspired by looking at, beholding something that is perfect? Every time Jesus would use the word, my Father, you could see the beam in his eye. You could see the gleam, and you could see the joy that he had. My Father, my Father, my Father. It meant something. It inspired. But then the other thing that we have to look at is the guidance. Don't you wish there was a kind of a manual to tell you what a father was and what a father did? Okay, guys, you know, you've been. And where do you go when you need direction when your kid is acting a knucklehead? How do you deal with that? We need guidance. And if we just look to human ability, if we just look to the human experience to define what a father is. What works for your family may not work for mine. Okay? It may not, but I tell you what, when you turn to what God said, what he really said in his word, it will define to you what a father means. It will give you the guidance. And it will say to the little ones, listen to the instructions of your father. You go back and you read the book of Proverbs and it'll tell you the instructions of the father and the guidance and direction of the mother. It establishes, it really solidifies what parental guidance is all about. Not this thing of, well, you know, just whatever works, whatever is able to gain you an income and a way of life, that's what you do. No, that's not life. That is not living. Living is when you find something that is perfect. And then, of course, the accountability part. Who's going to hold you accountable? You know how it is, guys, right? You can't tell me what to do. You don't tell me how to run my house. Now, I'm not going to beat up on you because we're going to be talking about God, but I am going to say, hey, guys, you got somebody that's going to hold you accountable. I don't know when it's going to happen. But guess what's going to happen when you close your eyes and you breathe your last breath? God may not say, well, how many times did you usher in the church? How many songs? How many sermons you preach? How many times you did all that? But he will say to you as a father, show me your record. Give an account. That accountability. For that reason, I would think that we need to make sure we understand what a father is all about. And what better way of doing that than to look at God? What better way to really get an understanding of what it means to be a father? Do you know what it says about the Heavenly Father? He so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God, your God, my God, so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten son. That's what a father does. He gives. All right, with that, let's look at some things. If you're going to be a good dad, if you're going to be a father, then you got to first respond to God's love. How can you say you have love if you don't know what love is? I know Tina Turner said, what's love got to do with it? It's got everything to do with it, Tina. Don't you know that God so loved this world in a miraculous way that it transforms life? If you want to see a child change, love them. If you want to see them be destroyed, you start showing them animosity and hatred and how to be hateful. By the way, guys, you know, you say, well, I don't know whether I can keep up this with this thing of God being my father and recognizing him and getting the definition of a father. Guess who else could be your father if you didn't show some action or if you didn't try? You don't even have to try to be a child of the devil, right? It just kind of shows up. All of a sudden, you just drink a little booze, do a little drugs, and the next thing you know, man, you acting out. And people look at you, look, they acting just like the devil. When you start putting your head down in that Bible and folding your hands, say, God, I need help. Now you're acting like somebody different, right? Amen. Now your wife going, when the world's happening? What happened to them? When your kids going, Dad, you praying? You know. How do you demonstrate it? You respond to the Father's love. Listen to what Jesus said. The Father himself loves you. He came to this planet. He came to this earth to demonstrate to you and to me, if nobody else loves you in this world, God himself loves you. And the proof of it, Jesus said, I came to show you how much he loves you. I came to do that. Father himself loves you. He also says that if you say you love me, if you say that you respond to God in this kind of love, he said, I and my Father, we will come. We will come. So when you opened your heart to Jesus Christ, guess what happened? God the Father came into your life and said, we're going to live with you. And if you will let me live in your life, I will bring you to my place when you leave this life. That's pretty good, right? That's pretty good. But you got to respond to it. And here's how you respond. Jesus said, now, because you have loved me, why does God love us? He loves us because we love Christ, right? We love him. We have responded to him. We're convinced, Jesus, I needed help in my life. And so I opened my heart up to you. I opened up my heart to you, and I believed on you. You wouldn't be here this morning, you know, 6 o'clock this morning, 7 o'clock this morning, that bed felt pretty good, right? You said, yes, let me just pull the covers over. And, you know, I had a hard week. A lot of people do that on Sundays, right? Coming to church. No, I'm going to turn on my radio TV and I peep from under the cover and I'll look at my radio preacher and say amen. But you came out. Came out because something was in you. That's the love of Christ. It's the love for Jesus, the love for what he's doing in the world, the work of this church, and the love that you have and the appreciation for your fellow members. That's why you came, right? So we respond to the love of God. You look at the wickedness in this world, and it all goes back to this very fact, people don't love. But when you see the small acts of kindness, when you start seeing people appreciate and help each other and show benevolence toward one another, that's love. That's love being expressed. And that love came from somewhere. It came from someone. Someone demonstrated that love. And Jesus said, if you love me and if you start loving other people, then you're responding. You're responding to that love. All right, so what else does it say? All right, if I'm going to know, guys, if I'm going to know how to be a father and how to be a dad, then I've got to know this thing called the Father's promise. And I'm going to take all the theological terms out of it and just put it down to this. It's going to take a lot of strength for you to be a father. At some point, you're going to say to yourself, man, I can't do this. And you're right where you need to be. Okay, here's why. Jesus was giving the disciples an assignment. Putting this into context. He knew that the assignment he was sending them on, they could not carry it out. He knew it. But what he did, he breathed on them. So in other words, what was in him was now coming upon them. And he said, receive the promise of the Father. What promise are you talking about? What kind of thing is it that if he breathed on, you don't want everybody breathing on you, right? You got germs. But I can tell you when Christ breathes on you, he's going to give you something supernatural for you to do more than just the natural. You could look out there and say, okay, that's pretty good, Dad. I think I'll start taking some notes after him. I think I'll start doing what he does and acting like him. So his failure now becomes your failure. What he messed up in, as a matter of fact, you probably won't have all of the energy that he had because you're duplicating it. But when you have the power of God, that's the other thing about it. When you have the power of God, Acts 1 and 4 said, wait for the promise of the Father. Acts 1 and 8 actually tells you what that promise was. You shall receive power. We like that word, right? Guys, come on, that makes you want to flex your muscle, right? Hey, look here, look here. You know, I'm 8 years old. I'm telling you, look. I used to watch my dad. He was a little short man. My dad wasn't even 5 feet tall, but he had some muscle. He could lift stuff. He could do things. Your Father in heaven has all the power in the world. He wants you to have the ability to lift things, to do things, because it honors him. Can you do it by yourself? No, you gotta have this thing from him. So receive that promise. Receive the Father's promise that now you have the power. Well, that's not the end of it. Hold on. Going back to this Father with a capital F, right? And the Father with a small case F. Okay. Somewhere along the lines, one ought to look like the other. All right. Would you think? Here's what Jesus said. I don't want you going through this world just kind of willy-nillying your way through life and say, I'm going to do it my way. Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. Folks in hell sang that song, right? So what do you want to happen? You want this to happen in your life. I want it to happen in my life to know what his assignment is. Because a lot of folk in this world are confused about their relationship with God and with their assignment. They're thinking, well, God is in my life to bless me. God is in my life so I can get my inheritance. Right? That ain't what Jesus said right here. He said, as my Father, watch this, sent me, even so, not just the same or similar, even so, which means what I did, you got to do. I know what you're thinking. I can read your mind. You got it written on your forehead. I can't do that. Yes, you can. That's the whole thing. You're being reshaped into the likeness and the image of God. God so loved you that he will not leave you as you are. He'll work on you. Now, you don't have to touch your neighbor, but look at your neighbor and say, he'll work on you. And what he does, he'll get you to do. Because it won't be your strength. As my Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. Now, let's pause right here. I'm going to tell you a little story, and then before we close this message, let's just kind of take a pause. Let's take a breather. Reverend, you wait a minute, let me get this thing straight. You told me first to respond to God's love, right? Yep, check it off, all right? Respond to his love. Who else is going to love you but God? Amen. Then I told you to receive his promise, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. So you got that, yeah, we got that. Now, you're telling me that I've got to do this assignment from the Father? That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you. Many of you all know that I'm a former farmer. Get it? Former. Okay, all right. One thing I learned from my father, I had a good dad. He taught me, Mr. Knight, he taught me everything he knew about farming, whether I wanted to learn it or not. He taught me how to get up new ground, which some of you all from the city, don't even worry about asking. Don't even worry about asking. But he taught me how to plow with the mule, and then he taught me how to drive the tractor, which was a step up, right? Okay. I learned that. Even today, when I want to just kind of empty it out of my head, I still know how to farm, Miss Kavler. I know how to farm. I know how to get in, and I know how to put the fertilizer there, and I know how to lay up the row, as they say, and to cultivate it. Because my father was a farmer. 4 feet, 11 inches tall, and the mule looked like a giant dinosaur, and he's walking behind it. I can tell you that if I were to go out into a field and to get a tractor and break up a row, my father would be looking down from heaven saying, "That's my boy. That's my boy. That's what I trained him to do. Look at him. He's, and when the crops come in, that's my boy. Look at what he grew. Look at what he did." Think about your Father in heaven, who's given you his power, given you, poured out his Spirit, breathed on you his Spirit. And now when you start responding to the world around you, God says, "That's my child. Look at them. They're honoring me. They're recognizing me. They're glorifying me. Look at them." Rather than doing what the world says to do, look at them. They're loving when the world says hate. They're helping when the world says do your own thing. Get into your own zone and live your own life. They're going out and they're doing my will. Let me just summarize it with two things. It is the Father's Day. Yeah, we can share in it. We are co-heirs, because remember we got a little small elf, right? He's got the big one, and we've got the small one, and we get to look to him, and we say, "It is Father's Day. Let me square my shoulders a little bit in this world that will have you all drawn over and drawn together and thinking that you're powerless. You're making a big difference. You know why? Because you're making the difference in someone's life. You don't have to biologically be their father, but you can be there. You can do what you can to lay a hand on a child or someone that needs help and say, "Yes, I'm doing this because I got a father." Amen. It is the Father's Day. It is the Father's Day because this world needs more people to say, "I'll do it." And Jesus said, "I could go. I would go. But guess what? I'm going to send you. Because you've got what I've got. You can do what I did. You can smile at people whose hearts are broken. You can pray for them. Don't worry about doing the extraordinary stuff. Just do what I tell you to do. As my Father has sent me, that's what I'm doing. I'm sending you." Just a point of wrap up. So how do we demonstrate that? You demonstrate it through action. I don't need you to talk religion when I'm heartbroken. Okay? I don't need you to give me 10 lectures of how I messed up. I need you to sit there with me. I need you to just be there. Okay, can we do that? Yeah, we can demonstrate the Father's love. And he said, "Now, as he sent me, that's what I want you to do." Listen, Jesus walked through this world with so much love that it just kind of oozed out of him. It was in his pores. You know, I was had a time in my life that I served over in South Korea, and we ate this stuff called kimchi. I ate the mild kind because the other kind of kimchi, which is fermented cabbage and other vegetables and stuff that they put in there. Yeah, I know it. And they put it in the ground for several months. Yeah, I know. But instead of rotting, it just kind of ferments. And it's pretty good. Put it over rice. Oh, you got a cool dish. Right? Yeah, Mike, I did it. Okay. But the thing about kimchi was this. If you ate it, it was going to tell you ate it. You would have what was known as the kimchi smell, right? Loved it. Yeah, loved it. But you had to put on a lot of cologne to hide the kimchi, right? You can't hide the love of God if it's in you.
Amen.
You demonstrate it. You show people. You don't just say, well, have the love of God. You show it to them. And Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, show some love. I like that. Show some love. Show people that you really, really do care. You demonstrate it. But then secondly, you share it. You share it. Here's the miraculous thing. The love of God is very contagious. You might say it's fertile. Okay? Not just in a way that we reproduce, but in a way that it gets things done. It's fertile. I'll take you back to the farm just a little bit. We're just going to stay a little while, right? Take you back to the farm. My dad would have these huge bags of this stuff called fertilizer. For some of you city folk that don't know what fertilizer is all about, you'd put it beside plants, and this amazing thing would happen to plants. It would actually cause them to grow, and in some cases, if they only had a little life in it, that fertilizer, right kind, man, they're just. And we had this stuff called nitrogen soda. If you want stuff to grow fast, Brother White over there going, amen, amen. If you wanted the crops to really take off, put some of that nitrogen soda beside it, and then you cover it up, and then watch it. Oh, man. Can you imagine what would happen? If you filled with the love of God goes over to somebody who's broken by life, hurt by circumstances, about to give up, and you go on over with some nitrogen soda from the Spirit. Amen. And you say, let me sow into your life. Well, you say, what is that? A couple of verses. Maybe a small prayer. And just a little word that says, I care about you. Oh, just watch them grow. Just watch them grow. That's how miracles happen. And it all goes back to this thing. I understand what it means to be a father. I understand it. I'll tell you one more story. I got to tell you this one. It was Saturday evening, and Dad wanted me to disc this field, about 3 acres, which would take you normally an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. I was going to get it done in a half hour. Why? Because I had somewhere to go. So I'm out there, man. I got that tractor as fast as it'll go. I got it in fourth gear, Brother White. I got it in fourth gear, man. The dust is coming up behind that thing. All of a sudden, here comes this short man running across the field. Hey! Oh, man. I pull the gas down on it. You can hear the tractor. Now I'm saying to myself, I'm in trouble now. And what did he tell me? I told you. Do this right. Yes, sir. Put it in second gear. Forgot about the date, right? Because my job was to plow that field and get it right. Now, even though I missed where I was going to go, my dad came to me afterward and he said, good job. Ladies and gentlemen, not just fathers, what's God going to say to you after you've plowed your field, after you've done work, assignment that you were supposed to, what is he going to say? Will he say, well done? I know it says on the verse there, whoever sins you remit, they're remitted. It means to pay for. Whoever sins you retain, they're retained. That means they get to keep them. And you say, I can't forgive sins. Yeah, you can. You can let them know. The Father told me to tell you, you're forgiven. Those simple words. And all I'm asking you to do, slow it down a little bit. just slow it down a little bit. And get to see people. And then tell them, you're forgiven. It's as simple as that. And if they want to receive it, they can. If they don't, well, you know, that was their choice. But at least plow the field. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your awesome grace. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father. And Lord, it is Father's Day. We get to imitate you and to do you your will and to serve you, to honor you. Please forgive us for our sin and help us that we might serve you in righteousness and in truth and to slow it down. Slow it down. We're running too fast. We're going through this life and not caring about what happens to others. It's just our agenda. We're trying to get it done. And you're telling us, slow it down. Slow it down and recognize what's really important. I thank you for challenging us today. For more than that, for coming into our lives and building us up where we're weak and helping us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. That's what we're praying for. And I ask that you'd speak to every heart and bring home your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to extend the invitation. There may be someone today that perhaps you're struggling with some things. And you're asking the question, is my life worth it? Am I showing this love, whether you be man or woman? But am I showing this love that God has? Or do I even have it? Or do I know it for myself? Well, you can. You can. You just need to open your life and say, I receive Christ. So I'm going to ask that we all stand. If there be one today...